Oh, Brian, what have you done now?
Woo! I've got the style and profile like never before!
Welcome back to the Brian Gilmore Show on the Meld.
And that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold sets
the... Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show on the Meld. We've been doing this show for like maybe, I don't even know. It's been a while. I feel like it's been a while. Maybe it hasn't been that long, maybe not as long as I think it's been, but what I do think is that we've been doing this podcast now going on over a year. I've been doing online radio for 3 or 4, so it's been a while. It has been a while, at least for me. Maybe if I'm talking to Howard Stern, he's like, you don't know anything yet about doing radio, but I feel like I've been doing it a while, and we've had some great guests on the show, and something that y'all have probably realized by now is that I'm a supreme professional wrestling fan. I know y'all know this. I know y'all hear Booker T in the intro. You hear me go on the Meld, like I'm the Macho Man Randy Savage. I'm a huge wrestling fan. And with that being said, the show has always kind of been predominantly about hip-hop. And not that that's a bad thing. I'm in love with hip hop as well. But this week on the Brad Gilmore Show, as you heard yesterday with our interview with Johnny LaQuasto, or earlier in the week rather, with Johnny LaQuasto, I want to focus on wrestling a little bit. You know, last few shows I've put out here on this channel have been the CM Punk special with the announce table, two WrestleMania pre and post podcasts, SummerSlam pre and post podcasts. I mean, just a lot of wrestling content, and I want to continue that this week here on the Brad Gilmore Show. Where not only you're going to get that interview with Johnny LaQuasto, which I heard earlier this week, not only did you get the announce table, parts 1 and 2 of The Streak with me and Kyle Hubbard, you're also going to get a special one-on-one conversation with, when it comes to podcasts, you know, and when it comes to wrestling podcasts, you know, a lot of people will first think Colt Cabana. Maybe a year ago at least, now they think Stone Cold Steve Austin, they think Roddy Piper, they think Chris Jericho, they think Jim Ross, they think Goldberg. They have all their go-to wrestling podcasts, and there's probably more wrestling podcasts out there than anything else in the podcast world, brother. But I listen to one religiously. I listen to all of them, but I might miss a few episodes of the other, but I listen to one religiously. Every Sunday, I listen to the Solid Monster Sounds Off. I discovered this podcast a while back, maybe over a year ago now, and I was on the way driving to my grandma's house, my grandma's facility, the assisted living facility she lives in. I'm driving there, and I was listening to some show, and it, you know, the show ended, and I was like, man, I want to listen to something else. I want another show to listen to on my way to my grandma's. So I typed in wrestling on the iTunes podcast search bar, right? And the first thing that came up, what am I? See, it's late. First thing that came up was a guy or a podcast named The Solid Monster Sounds Off. So I click it, I start listening, and I found myself enjoying this show, this podcast. And all I remember was him talking about a shirt that says, if Cena wins, we complain online. And I thought that was so funny. So I subscribed to the channel, and I started listening every week, and I was like, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's a pretty smart wrestling fan. And it was entertaining. I mean, I've always had the co-host on my show. So for someone to do a 2-hour podcast by themselves just talking straight, I applauded that supremely. And I became a huge fan, and I had him on the show, I think, back in January, February this year. And I just wanted to have him back so we could talk more wrestling, more podcasting, more about his show. And he's just taken over the wrestling podcast sphere, the universe of podcasting. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome him back on the show. We have the one and only Solid Monster. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. And back for round two. He decided to come back so we could talk more about wrestling and more about what I say is one of the best wrestling podcasts that are all out, that are out there in the whole universe. Not the WWE universe, but the universe as a whole. Welcome back to the show, the Solid Monster. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. That's quite the intro there that you just gave me.
Well, you know, I have another show that I listen to over on the Nerdist Network, and they do a great job with their podcast. And I kind of call them the Savage Steamboat of podcasts. And I think yours would be the Undertaker Shawn Michaels one for Mania 25. That's where I'm putting it up there.
Well, that is high praise. That is actually my favorite WrestleMania match, so that's a good comparison to make.
Well, see, look at that. There we go. Last time you were on the show was sometime before WrestleMania, I think back in February or something like that, and then we saw what happened with the Mania fallout. We just had SummerSlam. Real quick, and I know you did that sound off extra on your YouTube page, what did you think of the main event, Brock Lesnar, John Cena from SummerSlam?
I thought it was fantastic. I really did. I thought that it was so unique and different, and it was exactly what it had to be to get Brock Lesnar set up going forward as the champion if the plan is to keep the title on him for a while, and I hope it is. I think that they did it as good a way as they possibly could, and kudos to John Cena for agreeing to something like that. I don't think there's too many guys in his position who would say, all right, I'm going to let the other guy basically destroy me and pin me in the middle of the ring on pay-per-view. He did it, and I give him a lot of credit for it.
You know, definitely. I can't imagine like Hulk Hogan saying, hey, brother, let me go in there and take an F5 in 30 seconds.
Yeah. No, I don't think, you can live 1,000 lifetimes if you're Hulk Hogan. I don't see him agreeing to anything like that.
So, I mean, that was an epic night at SummerSlam. And I heard you on your show today. You put in the top two SummerSlams from the past 10 years. They got a lot to live up to at Night of Champions, I would suppose. It looks like, we know they're doing Cena Lesnar 2. Looks like they're doing Orton Reigns 2. Looks like they're doing Paige AJ 3. I mean, you think it's just going to be a repeat show of SummerSlam?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way it's shaping up right now. I could see them doing maybe some sort of four-way with the women. You know, we've had Natalia and Eva Marie, as much as it pains me to say that, get some wins over the Divas champion on TV over the last few weeks. So it would kind of make sense if they wanted to expand that match. I don't know if they will. But yeah, I mean, Reigns and Orton, I should say, seem to be continuing their little feud. And we know we're getting Brock Cena Part 2, although I guess technically it's Part 3. So it kind of looks like the night of rematches, which, it's a little odd to me, given that you have a lot of network subscriptions that are coming up, and you would think they would want to think a little more outside the box. But we have, about 3 weeks or so?
I think about three,
they've got time if they want to change things up, maybe shake it up a little bit. I do think the one thing we'll get, given that every title has to be defended, is a tag team title match, which I thought that was the one thing that was missing from SummerSlam, because the Usos have been tearing it up lately.
Oh yeah,
and we didn't get that. Yeah, we didn't get that big Usos match on the SummerSlam card, so I would imagine we'll get that in Night of Champions, and that should help things a little bit.
I mean, who do you think they're going to take on? Ryback, Soul? I know Big Show and Mark Henry seem to be a tag team right now. We've seen them take on the Wyatts several times. I mean, who do you think there is in the tag team division? Hopefully it's not, what is it, Slater Gator. Hopefully we don't get the Slater Gator Usos match yet.
No. Actually, I saw an interview that .com did with Titus O'Neil a few weeks ago. And he said in no uncertain terms that was not a tag team going forward. I guess it was kind of a fill-in deal on a show, and they teamed up, and it was one or two matches. And I don't see them being a regular team. But, I mean, we saw Goldust and Stardust on Monday night get a pinfall win over the Usos. So I think whatever kind of match they do, if it's a straight match or a four-way, you can pretty much bet they're going to be in there. The Wyatts, I really just don't see how you put the Wyatts in there, because every meeting that they've had with the Usos when it mattered, they've lost. I mean, they have beaten, Wyatt and Rowan so many, or I should say Harper and Rowan so many times that you get to that point where they just don't deserve a tag team title match. I think we're at that point with them. So you've got Mark Henry and Big Show. It looks like they're setting up something with Henry and Rusev, unless they blow it off on TV. I don't think Mark Henry's wrestling twice on pay-per-view. So if they do that match, you don't really put them in there. And I guess that leaves Ryback-Soul, and I can't say that I'm enamored with them being in the tag title picture either, because they haven't exactly been lighting the world on fire lately.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think, though, like, whoever, if it's Cody Rhodes, I mean, not Cody Rhodes, he's Stardust, I'm sorry, Stardust and Goldust, if you think they take on the Usos, are they going to finally beat the Usos for the gold? Is this the cosmic key that will finally be in the possession of Stardust?
I think that's probably what that cosmic key they've been talking about on TV. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I think the Usos, I wouldn't do it just because I think the Usos are a hot act. If you're going to take the titles off them, I'd rather be with a team that could actually beat them and hold on to them for a while and maybe be the centerpiece of that division. I like Goldust and Cody together as a team. I'm not, you know, that infatuated with the whole Stardust thing. I thought when they were just Goldust and Cody, they were having great matches every single week, every single month. They were one of the highlights of the show. Now they've got Cody doing the whole Stardust thing. You know, to me, it doesn't really do much for me. I mean, I personally would keep the belt on the Usos, and if they're going to bring up, there's been a lot of talk about bringing up the Ascension from NXT and maybe starting something between those two teams. I guess you could do that with Goldust and Cody instead. But do I see them taking the titles? I think there's probably a better than 50% chance right now that they do.
Well, we're just going to have to wait tonight at Champions and see. But you bring up NXT, and anyone who listens to your podcast, your show, The Solid Monster Sounds Off, everyone knows you're a really big NXT fan. You say that NXT is the best product that WWE puts out on weekly television. What to you makes NXT such a great wrestling television show?
Well, the number one thing is that it's only an hour long. I think that's a big part of it, because 3 hours every Monday is just too much. And with NXT, it doesn't overstay its welcome. You know, it's not even a full hour, really. It's about 45 to 50 minutes any given week. It's a very simple show. It's not complicated. It's a lot like old school wrestling or old school WWF shows in that respect, where you have, you know, maybe 3 to 4 matches tops, some of which are squash matches. And you do those because you want to help get somebody new over. And so they could showcase their moves and you get to learn a little bit more about them. The feuds are very simple. And also on NXT, you know, we get a chance to see some of these main roster guys, like Tyson Kidd, who stands out to me, and really see what they can do. I've been very entertained with his character. It's the sort of thing you'll never see on Raw. And every now and then when a Tyson Kidd shows up on Main Event or Superstars, not that I watch those shows a lot, but from what I hear and from what I see of it, he's not even portraying the same character. It's kind of back to the same old Tyson Kidd who's in there and has a good match and gets beat. So that's another aspect of NXT that I love, is that we get to see a side of those guys that's a hell of a lot more entertaining that we'll never get to see on the main roster. And the biggest thing of all is you get to see a lot of new guys and guys from the indies that, you know, you and I would probably know, who go in there and tear it up and have great matches. And you hope that one day they'll be able to do that on the main roster.
Definitely. But, you know, you brought up something that I always found weird, though, about NXT. Is they use a lot of main, not a lot, but they use main roster guys on their show. And I know sometimes, like, you know, with cases like Adam Rose and Xavier Woods and a few other people, when they finally call them up to the main roster, they're still on NXT television like every week. I mean, don't you think that kind of defeats the purpose of calling them up in the first place?
No, I mean, I think the reason they do that is just, you know, they're probably not being used a lot on TV. Some of those guys love working down in NXT. I know that. And it's their choice to push forward. They want to, you know, stick around a little bit longer. They usually don't stick around that much longer. There's a little bit of overlap. Part of that may also be the fact that they tape in advance. So if a guy gets called up and maybe it's a last minute decision, they've already got 3-4 weeks of TV taped and maybe he's on it. So I don't think it's really that big of a deal. I mean, I almost wish that somebody like Emma, for example, who we never get to see on Raw, we never get to see her on SmackDown. I wish she was one of those people who was still popping up every now and then on NXT, because at least then we'd actually have a chance to see her wrestle. I feel like now we kind of get cheated out of that. She's really good, and you don't get to see a lot of her. So that doesn't bother me so much. What bothered me was we went through the stretch of time where there were a lot of lower card or mid card guys from the main roster who were taking up spots on NXT. And I know why they did that, and I actually think it's probably a good idea, because they can help put over some of the younger guys. But you had like a Brodus Clay who had a feud with Adrian Neville, and you know, that wasn't really overly exciting. But for every Brodus Clay, you'll have a Tyson Kidd who pops up, and it's like buried treasure. You know, you never knew this guy had it in him, and he's very entertaining. And at the end of the day, they're there to help put these younger guys over.
Well, yeah, I get that too. I guess for me, it was just like, I think all these NXT stars are sitting there and they're waiting to get called up to the main roster, and then they finally do. And recently, it seems like they don't get utilized, like you said, like with Emma or even like Adam Rose. I don't think he's been on Raw since maybe like June or July. You know, I haven't seen him at least this month at all. And you know, the rumors of they've given up on Bo Dallas and they've given up on this guy. You know, they don't use Xavier Woods really at all on the show. They had that short-lived, what it looked like, Nation of Domination for a week, and then nothing the next week. How do you think Triple H, of all people, I know NXT is his baby, and I know he's very hands-on with NXT, how do you think he feels when they finally call these guys up to the main roster, and then, I guess, I don't know if it's Vince or whomever, decides he doesn't want to really utilize them all that much?
Well, I mean, my guess would be that, Vince is still the head guy there. You know, the buck stops with him. I know Triple H has said before, and he's even done interviews and said, you know, we don't want to call these guys up from NXT unless we have a long-term plan for them. So some of them, they'll have these vignettes that they run for 4 weeks or 6 weeks before a guy makes his debut. And I think he's got the right idea. So my guess, without knowing, is that he probably doesn't have a lot of say in what happens with that. I would imagine it frustrates him because, you know, NXT is his baby and the Performance Center, and a lot of these guys really look to him as their boss or the guy that they go to and talk to. And you could tell whenever there's like a big NXT special and Triple H does one of these conference calls with some of the wrestling media, just the way he talks about it, he talks about it like a proud father. That's the best way I can describe it. So I would imagine that he's probably pretty frustrated when that sort of thing happens. You mentioned Adam Rose. He hasn't wrestled on Raw in so long. I saw a stat, maybe somebody sent it to me earlier, I don't remember where I saw it, but the last Raw match that he was involved in was the end of July. And before that, you'd have to go back to like mid-June. So in the last 2 months, he's had a grand total of 2 matches on Raw. I mean, that tells you right there what they think of the Adam Rose character. And Bo Dallas, you know, Bo Dallas is more of a comedy character right now than anything else. I think he could one day be more of a serious character. But yeah, I mean, the reports that he's already been given up on, you could just tell. You know, with the TV time he was getting, and all of a sudden to go from that to where he is now. Now it looks like they're easing him into something with Jack Swagger. I would hardly call that, you know, a meaningful feud, but it's got to be frustrating, I would think, for a guy like Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said, you know, especially, you know, like I said, it's Triple H's baby, and then, you know, he gets his kids, I guess you could say, finally graduate. And they're on Monday Night Raw, they're on SmackDown, and then, like you said, like, you know, they're not even getting great feuds. I mean, I thought at one time, Bo Dallas could have been, you know, they could have given him Intercontinental title real quick in that Battle Royal, and then, you know, catapulted his career to the next rung, I wouldn't say to the next level, but to the next rung up the ladder, if you will, and it just kind of frustrates me to see these guys, you know, get brought up. And like you said, long-term plan, but it doesn't seem like there is a long-term plan. It seems like they give them a couple weeks, and then they're like, oh, they're not working out.
Yeah, it's something, whether it's Vince or whoever, it just seems like somebody has, you know, a very short fuse or just has no patience at all. It concerns me only because there's so many talented guys they have right now at NXT that I would love to see them bring up to the main roster, but I talked about it on my podcast last week where I'm almost at a point now where I'm not so sure I want to see a Sami Zayn or a Tyler Breeze or any of these guys even brought up just for fear that they're going to get lost in the shuffle.
No, yeah, I think that's a definitely great point. So, continue.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a terrible feeling because I want to see these guys succeed and make money and become big stars. And if I have to sit there for 3 hours watching Raw every Monday night, I would love for a guy like a Sami Zayn or a Tyler Breeze or Adrian Neville to be part of that and go out there and just tear the house down and have great matches. I just don't have, as a fan, the confidence that once they make that trip up, we're going to see Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville out there for 10, 12 minutes every single week having the kind of matches that we know they could have because on NXT they get that leeway. You know, same thing with Paige and Emma. Before Paige got brought up and Emma did too, I mean, they were having matches that routinely went 10 minutes, 12 minutes. They had that I think it was NXT Arrival. They had like a 17-minute match, and it was great. And you just don't see that on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely not with the Diva stopwatch. I think the longest match has been like, what, 6-7 minutes total. And it's funny to me, though, that NXT, like you said, is an hour show. And it's, in my opinion, too, it's probably some of the best, if not the best product they put out on a weekly basis. And I almost like the fact that you get the revolving commentary team. You know, you get to see different people matched up with different people. Because I know you have a big grievance kind of with the Raw broadcasting team. You're not a big fan of JBL, Cole, and King, are you?
Well, yeah, it's weird because when JBL joined the Raw announce team, and I didn't know that they were going to permanently keep those guys together as a trio. I thought that, you know, it would be temporary or whatever. So they kept them together, and at first I actually liked them. I thought that he'd breathe some new life into the announce team, and JBL can be very funny. And it was fine for a while, but I feel like what's happened now, you know, he can be a little overwhelming, a little overbearing sometimes. I don't know if that's him or if that's someone in his ear telling him what to do, but it's just gotten to the point now where between that and between all of the plugs for the social media, the app, the network, and I know they have to do that, a combination of all of those things, having matches where they not one time will even say anything about what's happening in the ring and they're busy cracking jokes, it takes away from what's going on the screen. If I'm supposed to be watching that and following that storyline or following what's going on, it's hard to do that. I feel like the announcing sometimes takes away from that, and that's not how it should be. It's frustrating, but like you mentioned NXT, they've tried out a lot of different people. One of the guys that's impressed me, who I actually like, and I hope he continues to do well, and who knows, maybe we'll see him on one of the main shows one day, is Albert. I guess now his name is Jason Albert. He used to be Tenzai. He's actually, I think he's really good, and I think he could be a solid color guy at some point. Tom Phillips, you know, cut his teeth on NXT, and then now he's been named the lead play-by-play guy for SmackDown, which I think is really cool. I guess JBL and Cole are going to be more of the analysts on the show, whatever that means. So you have to have that revolving door just because, I mean, look at where we used to be 10, 15, 20 years ago with wrestling announcers, and look at where we are now. I feel like there's a lot of really good people out there that just we haven't heard them yet. So the more people they can test out on the C show, so to speak, you never know. You may find that diamond in the rough somewhere, and they could be the next JR. So I like the fact that they're trying out Renee Young and not so much Alex Riley. but I have to say one thing about that. Whenever I watch the Raw pre-show, they do the pre-show, post-show stuff. One of the great thrills I get is whenever Booker T has a great put-down of Alex Riley.
Yes.
It's just fantastic, and it makes my day every time you can get a real finger in there on him. It just puts a smile on my face.
Definitely, definitely. That's one of my favorite parts of the Raw pre-show is getting to see Book put down A-Rai.
That's right.
You know, you talk about NXT being the C-show. Obviously, that makes SmackDown the B show, Raw the A show. But I recently watched the Paul Heyman documentary. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it yet. But Paul Heyman, at one point, and I remember this period, you know, during Ruthless Aggression era, Paul Heyman was able to, at one point, make SmackDown the A show for a short period of time with the SmackDown 6 and all the, you know, innovative stuff that he was doing on that show. And now I know SmackDown is moving back to its original time and place on Thursdays. Do you think any possibility? I know it's a shoot in the moon if this would ever happen. Is there a chance that SmackDown could become a destination television show again? Because to be honest with you, I watch Raw and I watch NXT on the network, you know, at my leisure. But I watch Raw on Monday nights. I don't really care about SmackDown anymore because storylines rarely bleed over. You don't feel like you have to watch it. And if you don't watch it, Raw will catch you up on if anything does happen that you needed to see. I mean, do you think we can ever get back to a point to where SmackDown truly matters?
Yeah, I think we could. Do I think we will? No. But the possibility is there. All they have to do is put the effort in. I feel like they've always treated SmackDown. I think Paul Heyman said this on the DVD, which I did see, and I thought it was excellent. SmackDown, it's the secondary show. So if they don't put the effort in to make you and I care about it, then why would we waste 2 hours of our time watching it when we know that from 1 week to the next, if you miss SmackDown, you really haven't missed much because you're going to get the rematch on Raw that Monday. You know, it's almost comical how Raw most weeks is just a bunch of rematches from SmackDown. And I think they do that because they know that a lot of people aren't tuning into SmackDown. Now, SmackDown still does well. You know, it gets a really good audience, 3 million people. But there's nothing exciting. There's nothing must-see about the show. All they have to do is put the effort in. Now, you mentioned storylines don't bleed over. They actually do bleed over because there's no brand split anymore. The problem is there's nothing eventful happening on the show that makes us feel like, wow, we really missed something by not watching SmackDown. You'll have good wrestling, but you know, we're in an age now where it's never been easier to get good wrestling. I mean, we can get good wrestling on Raw. We can get good wrestling on Impact when they actually give you a good show. You can go watch, you know, New Japan stuff on YouTube. I mean, there's a ton of, you know, Ring of Honor, a ton of good wrestling out there. There's got to be more than just good wrestling if you're going to get me to take 2 hours out of my week to watch SmackDown.
Yeah, and that's what I meant by bleed over. I meant like the nothing that really happens on SmackDown that makes me think, damn, I can't believe I missed it. I think the last thing I even remember happening was Del Rio Big Show for the world title in a last man standing match, and Del Rio.
Yeah, that was a great match. That was a great match, and I actually watched that show, and you know, it was great emotion, and it was a big title win. But that was also a title change. You don't see too many world title changes on TV at all, which is fine. I think you should save them for special occasions. But yeah, whenever they have like a big legend return, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, you know, where does it happen? It happens on Raw. It's going to happen again this Monday. Hogan's going to be there. Michaels, Flair, they're doing a Hall of Fame forum that ties into the whole Cena Lesnar storyline. You'll notice it's happening on Raw. It's not happening on SmackDown. And maybe they should start thinking about taking some of those legends, or if they have a surprise return, doing it on SmackDown. I understand they don't want that to leak out early, but they've got to do something. It's going to take more than just moving the show back to Thursdays, I think, to get people to change their viewing habits. It's not as though they're going to move the show and all of a sudden 500,000 new people are going to pop out of nowhere and start watching it. They've got to give people a reason to do that. I think when SmackDown moves, and it looks like October 2nd is going to be the day that it does, I think what we're going to see is what happened when Main Event debuted. If you remember, when Main Event first debuted, they made a big deal about it. I think the main event of that first Main Event, not to sound redundant, was CM Punk and Sheamus. It was champion versus champion. I think both had belts at the time. And it was like, wow, okay, we're getting some eight guys on the show. And sure enough, within 3 or 4 weeks, it was right back to, well, there's nothing really eventful happening on here. So I think we're going to get the same thing with SmackDown. Give it like a month, and after that, it's going to be right back to the way it is now.
And you know, you say October 2nd is when SmackDown's going to move back to Thursday. Do you think that that's the reason for moving it, to try to get more viewers or to get interest back? I mean, you're saying they're doing 3 million people a week already. I mean, you don't think that, because I know Friday is typically a dead spot for all television, so going into Thursday, you would think they would have a dramatic increase in viewers, no?
Yeah, but you know what, though? I think a big part of it also is, I can't understand why they ever moved to Friday night in the first place. Friday night, and they've done well. I mean, they've done better than I thought they would. But Friday night is like one of those death spots, you know, for a TV show. Because people are out, you know, you're not really glued to your TV set on Friday night or Saturday night. And so I always was puzzled by that move. And you know, there were things that happened over the years where it sounded like, okay, maybe they have an opening now where they can move it back to Thursdays, and they never did. So the fact that they're moving it back to Thursday, I don't know what happened there. Obviously, it must have come up in the negotiations when they re-signed with Viacom and or whatever the parent, NBC Universal. I would like to think that that's the case, that all of a sudden they've got this grand plan to turn it into maybe not the A show, but make it more competitive. I just don't see them doing it.
Yeah, and what made me laugh, and I know you probably got a kick out of this too, is as soon as rumors came out that SmackDown was going to move back to Thursday the next week. And I think you actually did make a joke of it at the intro of one of your shows. The next week, you know, Impact, TNA Impact moves to Wednesday nights, just out of the blue. No real mention of it except like one little commercial on their show. And then the next week they're back, when they're on Wednesday nights. And to me, it just shows TNA is just, I mean, I guess if you are TNA, you are afraid of WWE taking all your viewers, because already I think Impact maybe have taken a portion, not a big portion, but a portion away from their audience. I mean, to you, Impact moving to Wednesday nights, how'd you feel about it?
I think it's just delaying the inevitable. I think there's a pretty good chance they're probably done on Spike TV. And Spike is just giving them a little more time to negotiate and find a home somewhere else. I mean, there's been so many rumors about it. You know, it's hard to know for sure exactly what's going on. I just don't think there's any sort of long-term plan here. I think they moved them over to Wednesdays because they know football is starting soon, and they got wind that SmackDown was moving to Thursdays, and that's not a fight they wanted, because we all know what happened the last time WWE and TNA went head-to-head on TV. It didn't work out too well for TNA. And so I think that was probably the biggest reason why they made the move. And obviously it was a last-minute move, because I'm watching Impact last week, and they had their little inserts that they inserted, these little 15-second commercials from the network. But on commentary, you still hear Mike Tenay and Taz talking about Impact next Thursday. So that's how last-minute it was. And, you know, they didn't do too well this past Wednesday because of that. I can't blame TNA for that. It's going to take a few weeks. And we'll see. We'll see if they end up right back where they were before with the same number of people, or if they lose audience. I would be shocked if they suddenly gained any real, you know, any big-time increase in viewers. I just think it's a stay of execution. I think the end result, whatever it's going to be, hasn't changed. So they'll be on Spike now till the end of the year. Good for them. They better have a backup plan. You know, they better have a second home, and we'll see what happens at that point. But I think their future is just very, very bleak at this point.
It doesn't look good. You know, it definitely doesn't look good.
No,
I mean, over the last few months, losing so many major talent, at least in my eyes, major talent, you know, AJ Styles, Daniels and Kazarian, and then, you know, now Bully Ray is left. A lot of their top stars just, you know, leaving. I'm glad they finally turned Jeff Hardy out of the Willow character, and they have one of the biggest stars in wrestling back in his regular name and appearance. But I just don't think there's anything they can really do at this point. I mean, they're a sinking ship, and I think definitely, I mean, this TV thing is the iceberg that's going to finally hit the Titanic, you know what I mean? And it's just, to me, I hate to see a company go out of business, especially TNA, which at one point, believe it or not, at least I was a pretty big TNA fan. I thought they had a few years which were actually quality TV, and then it stopped. Kind of around the time where Bischoff and Hogan decided they wanted to go one-on-one with Vince again on Monday nights, which, like you said, was just an idiotic idea. Do you think that was just ego-driven by Eric Bischoff?
I don't know if it was just Bischoff. I'm sure Hogan had a hand in that. I just think they were so delusional that they just thought they got swept up in their own hype, and they really did think that they could give them a run for their money. And anybody with any real sense knew probably what was going to happen, and that, you know, that's exactly what happened. But just to go back to something you mentioned before, like you said, you know, you used to be, or you are a TNA fan, you don't want to see them go out of business. I don't want to see them go out of business either, especially because a lot of people are going to be out of work. WWE's not going to pick all those guys up. But at the end of the day, they had 12 years to make this work. And you can point fingers at any specific people that have worked for TNA that you want to. There's never been another wrestling company, I don't think, that has been given chance after chance after chance. They had primetime television on a major cable network, and they squandered it. So at the end of the day, if they go under, I feel bad for the wrestlers, but you can't really blame anybody but TNA. They have only themselves to blame if that's what ends up happening here, because they had so many chances and they blew every single one they were handed.
No, I mean, yeah, you're definitely right. And to think that they've been around for 12 years is just, like, ridiculous to me. I mean, you know, we know ECW is only around for 7. Even WCW, like, when it finally started gaining traction, I know it was around before then, but, you know, when Bischoff took over, you know, it was 94 to 2001. I mean, so TNA has had, like, a long-term a long lasting promotion and a long lasting TV show. And you're right, they just haven't been able to gain traction. And it's funny to me how many casual fans or people who were fans back in the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars era, so many people have no idea what TNA even is. I know Rob Van Dam said he'd be at an airport and people would be like, "Hey man, can't wait to see you back in a ring someday." And he's like, "I am. I'm on the show called TNA Impact every Thursday night." And the awareness for the product isn't even there. I think unless you're just a hardcore fan, not even a hardcore fan, but unless you're just really into wrestling and you currently watch, I mean, you're gonna maybe know about TNA, but at any given WWE show, I'm sure there's a large portion of the audience, especially like kids and stuff, that don't even know that TNA exists. And you're right, that's no fault but TNA's. And the management at TNA, Dixie Carter, I don't know who to blame. I know you're not a huge fan of Dixie Carter, but I don't really know anyone who is. And but like I said, I hate to see it go out of business for the wrestlers that are going to be out of work more than anything. I don't really care so much about the TNA namesake as much as I do the talent that works there, because the more wrestlers that are employed in the business, the better. But I also think that it's just so ridiculous for TNA, because I see them run these baseball stadiums, these minor league baseball stadiums, and they only get like 200 people in like a 6,000 seat baseball stadium. And to me, if I'm a big sponsor who's looking to sponsor a wrestling show, and I see that's what their live events look like, I would not go anywhere close to a product like that. And then I'd be like, well, that must just be wrestling. That's just wrestling, I guess. I'm not going to invest any money. And that's where I think independent promotions, aside from TNA, like a Ring of Honor, they probably suffer and they probably get some of the backlash from the poor decisions of TNA, because I think if you're not WWE in a lot of people's minds, then you're not a legitimate wrestling company.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's how it is. And I've seen those same photos from a lot of those baseball stadiums. It's pathetic, and I feel bad for those guys, because they're out there, they're busting their butt, and it's not their fault. And they look out, and what do you think must be going through their head when they look out in that crowd and they see so many empty seats? And we've heard from some of the guys who have left. Daniels and Kazarian have done some shoot interviews. I've heard Kazarian in particular do interviews where he would say, like, himself and other guys would go. They would go to management, and they would try to help in any way they can. Kazarian once told the story, and this is what really kind of angered me when he told the story, was something as simple as the trucks that transport the rings from town to town. Now, when WWE goes from town to town, they have their big trucks. They've got all the wrestler images on the side because, they're WWE. Everything is big. So apparently TNA uses just a basic Ryder moving truck to transport their ring. And Kazarian said, he went to management one day and said, "Look, I have a friend, I have a guy who can do a vehicle wrap. So at least there's some kind of identification on this truck that says it's Impact Wrestling or TNA. So when we travel, people know, and maybe word spreads, and they'll know when we come to their town, hey, TNA's in town, we should buy a ticket and go to the show." And they turned them down. They said, "Nope. Not interested or can't afford it." And this is a guy saying, "Listen, I've got a connection who can do this on the cheap. It's just a way to brand the trucks so people know that we're here." And he got turned down and it never happened. So, there's a lot of guys, I'm sure, who work there who try or who offer suggestions. They want to help. They want to do what they can. But that's not really their job. That's the job of the company. That's the job of their marketing people, their PR people. And if you follow any of the news, left and right, they're letting go of marketing people and PR people are leaving. I think a few PR people were cut this past week. So they're continuing to cut people. I mean, you're not going to hear too much about that. They're not like big names. But that's another indication right there that things are not going well in TNA, that you have people who are voluntarily jumping off like rats off the sinking ship. And, they're still cutting people. I just can't fathom that they're cutting people in their marketing and PR department, which is the one area that has been so piss poor for them for so long. If anything, they need more marketing and more PR people, and now they have less than ever.
Yeah, because we live in a day and age where your brand pretty much is everything. Solid Monster Sounds Off, that's a brand that you work hard to promote. And for me, TNA, you know, back when it was always TNA wrestling, right? Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, which is probably the worst wrestling promotion name in history, but TNA Wrestling. And then they had the six-sided ring, and then they took away the six-sided ring, and then it was Impact Wrestling, and then it's still Impact Wrestling, but they still call it TNA. And then they bring back the six-sided. I mean, their brand identity is just terrible. Because I think they let people come into their company, influence them, they change their whole format, and then they go back to it when it doesn't work. And like, they're just flip-flopping, trying to find out what works. And you're right, you know, they need marketing people. They need PR people. They need to develop some sort of brand identity. You know, for, like I said, with RVD, people not even knowing he's still wrestling, that means people aren't aware of your product. I happen to know they barely even promote when they're coming to do a live show. Anywhere, you know, they barely promote that they're going to be in a major market or in, you know, they did a show in Humble, Texas not too long ago here in Texas, and, you know, they only did like 400 people, and I heard they had no promotion for it, and I'm sure you're right. Imagine Kurt Angle, a guy who's main evented WrestleMania, won an Olympic gold medal for our country, and walks out and sees 400 people in an arena. I mean, that's just got to be a, you know, just an ego crush to him. And it goes back to just TNA's poor business. I think recently, at least, their wrestling product, at least over these New York tapings, which I know you attended live, those have been pretty good. I like the television product, but the business side of things is, I think, what's driven TNA into the ground, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see if they get a new TV deal. I mean, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But we got to think about this. We got to focus on stuff that makes a difference in this world. We got to talk about the Solar Monster Sounds Off, all right? The Undertaker HBK won at WrestleMania 25 podcast. I listen to your show, you know, every week, every Sunday. You have a new episode that comes out, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, all that good stuff. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you go into like the iTunes store and you hit the podcast tab, and you type in wrestling, or you type in WWE, you're one of the first shows that come up. It's like you and the Steve Austin show. I mean, you have a large audience. I know whenever you put a YouTube video out, it gets thousands of hits. I mean, how does that make you feel? Because I know you've been doing this since 2007. I mean, people know the Solar Monster. People are really aware of your show. I'm venturing to say you might have more fans that tune into your show every week than TNA. I mean, how does that make you feel, though, about your show and how far it's come?
Oh, it makes me feel great. It's funny you mentioned that about iTunes. I actually was not aware of that. Yeah. If that's the case, that's pretty cool. What I do know on iTunes, and I take a look there every now and then, because people can leave reviews, they can leave feedback, and it's pretty incredible. You know, we've got like 5 stars out of 5, 180 reviews. And, you know, you can take a small sample of people and say, well, it's just a small sample. But you got person after person after person who has, you know, great things to say about the show, because every person likes something different about it. And that, I think, is what's so great, is that the audience for the show is so diverse. It's literally people from all over the world. It's not just people in this country or Canada, the UK. I have a ton of listeners in the UK. I think the UK, generally speaking, is a big wrestling base for wrestling in general, but it's just literally people from all walks of life, all over the world, and it's humbling in a lot of ways, because when I started the show, you know, like anybody starting a podcast, you have no audience, and you basically feel like you're talking to yourself, like a crazy person, and you're trying to figure out, okay, well, how do I do this? How do I build an audience? I had the benefit of being part of a wrestling news website that itself had a good audience that since then has grown into a great audience. Now, we're not affiliated with them anymore, but that was kind of the Kickstarter that I needed. And I just knew that, look, if I'm going to keep doing this, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And if the show is good enough, it'll grow an audience. And one day I could just branch out on my own, which is what I've done. And the audience continues to grow. And I must be doing something right, I guess, if that's happening.
No, yeah, definitely. And, but my thing is, though, you know, and I know we touched on this last time, but there's so many. I mean, the market essentially is flooded with wrestling podcasts. I mean, from everybody, from wrestlers, from, you know, like we know the Steve Austins, the Goldbergs, the Jerichos, the Roddy Pipers, the Colt Cabanas, and then Jim Ross has his show. I mean, there's so many also week-to-week recaps of wrestling. And, I mean, what do you think sets your show apart from all those? What differentiates the sound off from, you know, other wrestling podcasts?
Well, I mean, the biggest difference between me and Steve Austin is Steve Austin was a wrestler who made millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, and I can only dream of that. So that's probably the biggest. That's probably the biggest difference between my show. It's not a wrestler show. It's a fan show, you know, hosted by a fan or fans. It's got a certain format that I think is somewhat unique. You know, I do talk about the shows. I do talk about Raw. And it's weird because, you know, when I do my show on Sundays, I'm talking about a Raw show that's almost a week old. And, you know, I wish it could be a little bit more fresh, but it has to do with my schedule. I'm just not able to do a show earlier than that right now. And there are some people who will comment every now and then, oh, I wish you could do your show a little bit earlier, and it bothers them. But it never stops them from listening to the show, and it's very few complaints about that that I get. So, I mean, you have a good number of people who wait their entire week to listen to a review of a show that's 6 days old, and they say they love it. And, you know, we talk about Raw, we talk about NXT. I know not every show will cover NXT, and I've only been doing that for about, you know, 14 months or so. That's become a big addition to my show. And to be perfectly honest with you, I feel like I'm one of the few people left out there who is routinely reviewing TNA every single week, and not just dumping on them, but actually watching the show and reviewing the show, because I know a lot of podcasts don't do that either. So it's a combination of the reviews. We take listener questions. I try to make people feel like they're part of the show. I take audio questions from people who want to send in their voices if they have questions in that form. For the longest time, we covered wrestling history. I'm a big, you know, wrestling history nerd. I love talking about it. And I've kind of changed the formatting a little bit, so we're not doing a history segment anymore, but we always talk wrestling history. And it's just, you know, trying to keep things fresh and just give people what they want to hear. And if that works, then, you know, why deviate from the format?
And yeah, and you're definitely right. And you talk about wrestling history, and you actually said something on your show today that I actually wanted to ask you about. You know, we're talking about John Cena as a 15-time world champion. Maybe by Night of Champions, he will be a 16-time champion, tying that record with Ric Flair. But you said on your show today that Ric Flair has won more than 16 world titles. I'm completely unaware of this. What are you talking about when you say he's... I know Ric Flair's a 16-time world heavyweight champion. He's won more?
Yeah, you know, I think the number 16 originated in the later years of WCW. It's just kind of a number that they've clung to. But I think the actual number, it's either 21 or 23, I think, is the actual number of world titles that Flair has won. And because there have been times over the years where he would lose it. I know he may have lost the belt once or twice overseas and then, you know, quickly won it back. So it was almost like a phantom title change. There's definitely a handful of title changes that have taken place that don't get the same kind of recognition for whatever reason. If you search around, you can read about them. But the actual number is either 21 or 23. That's the legit number. 16 is the number that WWE just kind of ran with.
That is incredible. I had no idea. 23 world titles. Like, that's a shit.
Yeah, that's... you know, and again, it's somewhere in that range. Flair himself has done interviews, and he admits it. He says it's actually more than 16. I think once he said it was like 19, but again, I think it's actually 21 or 23. It's somewhere in that range, and yeah, I mean, again, WWE, they just took that number 16 and said, all right, this is the story, and this is the number we're going to run with, and that's what everybody knows.
Wow, I had no idea about that. I got to look into this. Because I'm a big Ric Flair guy. I had no idea he won more than 16 titles. We talk about a guy like John Cena, and whenever I have conversations with wrestling fans or friends in the business or whatever, just when I'm talking about wrestling to somebody, you know, John Cena is the name that everyone knows. I mean, John Cena's the mainstream guy. I even remember my girlfriend recently texting me. She was like, hey, Lesnar beat John Cena? And I was like, whoa, how'd you even know that? She was like, oh, it was on E! News. And she was like, we got to watch it when I come home. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm in love with you so much more now. But we talk about John Cena maybe winning 16 titles. But to me, I literally, off the top of my head, can only think of maybe 4 or 5 title wins that were significant in my mind from John Cena. I mean, I can't believe that he's almost won 16 titles. I mean, we know he's won 15, and I mean, how many off the top of your head, if you're talking to somebody, how many John Cena title wins can you really name?
Not many. I mean, I actually did a whole mailbag question on this on my show a few weeks ago, and the question I posed was, has John Cena ever truly had, of those 15 titles, a truly memorable win? And I would argue that I don't think he's had that win yet. Now, the first win is always special, and I know he beat JBL, but I didn't really think that was anything special. You know, that was the match at WrestleMania 21. It wasn't even the main event. So is that really a special, memorable win? Personally, I don't look at it that way. I know that he's beat Batista at a WrestleMania for the title. Again, it doesn't really stand out to me. He's beaten, I'm drawing a blank. I mean, that just goes to your point. I mean, I really, it all kind of blends together for me. 15 world titles, and I'm struggling here to think of any that really stand out and name some other opponents that he's beaten for the belt. I think Jericho may be another one.
The only ones I can really think of, like, off the top were JBL, The Rock, and Edge. I remember he beat Edge at, like, the Royal Rumble, like, 3 weeks after Edge won the title. That's all I can remember. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's crazy when you think about, you know, John Cena, and he's won 15, but he doesn't have any really memorable wins. And, like I said, the main one I do remember is the first one with JBL, but the main event of that show was Triple H, Batista. But there's so much John Cena hate. And, you know, I'll admit it, I was rooting for Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I wanted to see him beat John Cena, not just to see him win the title. I wanted, you know, The Undertaker's loss at WrestleMania to feel like it meant something, and so I was glad that Brock Lesnar won. But the Cena hate, is it rooted in a place that's reality, or is it just fans and the smart marks, quote-unquote, who just want to hate the guy just because he's the guy, kind of like what they're doing for Reigns right now?
I think that's a big part of it. I just think people are sick and tired of it. I mean, the guy has been on top for 10 years. You can't go back in the history of that company and think of anybody else who has been on top as the guy the way that he has. I mean, Hulk Hogan? Nope. Steve Austin? Nope. The Rock? Nope. And then there's been a bunch of other guys, Undertaker, you know, Triple H. I would put those guys maybe at one level below. And they've been around for a long time, but they've never truly been the guy. Triple H has been around for, you know, 20 years almost, but, you know, for a good part of that, he wasn't the guy. And in recent years, he's been more retired than more of an active performer. Cena has been the guy. He's been in the main events and headlining pay-per-views. And there were a lot of complaints when CM Punk was champion in the early part of that 434-day reign that he had. And, he would defend the title, but it was John Cena who was headlining a lot of those pay-per-views. You know, John Cena headlined against Brock Lesnar. He headlined a pay-per-view against John Laurinaitis, which I think was the ultimate insult.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, to have a CM Punk-Daniel Bryan match on that show for the title and headline it with John Cena against John Laurinaitis, I think was quite the slap in the face. So I think they look at Cena, they blame him. I mean, Cena's not booking the shows. So obviously he gets a lot of flack unnecessarily. But I do think some of it is deserved. And the reason I say that is because if you have something that it is working, it's working in terms of he's a draw, he brings in a lot of money, he sells a lot of merchandise, but it's not working in the sense that for almost all of those 10 years, you know, your top babyface, your top hero in the company has been booed out of the building. And you have people saying, you suck, go away, die, we don't like you, all these horrible things. You would think that Cena would take more of a, you know, he would put more of an effort into somehow tweak his character, change his character. You'll notice on TV whenever he gets more serious and cuts a really serious promo, by the end of the promo, he's got most of the building chanting his name. They're chanting, "Let's go, Cena." They're not chanting, "Cena sucks." So what that tells me is people are tired of the jokes. They're tired of the cutesy promos and the comedy. And I've said on my show before, he's like the narrator of WWE sometimes when he comes out and he does an interview. He's like the Morgan Freeman of WWE. That's not what people want to see. That's, you know, we don't need him to do voiceovers and tell us what's going on in all of the other storylines. He'll come out and say, boy, you know, Seth Rollins is, you know, this evil Seth Rollins guy is going up against Dean Ambrose tonight. It's like, dude, that's not your job. Why are you talking about them? Why don't you worry about yourself and stop being cute? he's too cute for his own good, and I think that's why people resent him, and they just want to see him get beaten up the way he was at SummerSlam, and I think, you know, he bears some responsibility for that.
No, I definitely agree. Now, I want to wrap this up, but I have two more questions I need to ask you, and we're going to get into it right now. Now, my first thing to ask you, you know, I'm a huge fan of WWE. You're a huge fan of WWE. I used to be a really big fan of the Divas. Not so much for their in-ring presence, if you know what I'm saying. If you had to pick one diva to spend the rest of your life with, Solid Monster, what diva are you going to pick?
Now, are we talking current active divas or all-time divas?
All-time.
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question right there.
It's hard. Now, this is what we'll do. We'll go all-time, and then we'll go current, if they're not the same person.
You know, I have to say, I mean, if we're going all-time, I think Trish Stratus would have to be way up there on my list. Probably I'd go with her.
Can't hate you for that one.
And as far as current divas, boy, that's a good question. I'm probably leaning towards Paige, I think.
Oh.
I think Paige, I mean, she's attractive, and that's a big part of it. But I feel like from what I've seen of her, even on like Twitter and social media, not just on TV, she's got a really good sense of humor. Like, you know, there's been a running joke about her and Jerry Lawler, and Lawler got caught, you know, taking a peek at her butt once. And,
yeah,
you know, she doesn't hide from it. She goes on Twitter and she needles him and is like, hey, Jerry. And, you know, like, I like that. I feel like she's got a good sense of humor, and she's very attractive, and she's a good wrestler, and I'd probably go with her.
All right, we're gonna go Trish Stratus and Paige. I like that. Those are good choices. You know, I thought you might have been an AJ. I thought you might have been an AJ Lee kind of guy, but okay, you're gonna respect CM Punk. You're gonna go with Paige. I like that. Now here's the last question. You have to book it. Your fantasy dream 5-on-5 Survivor Series match. Who are your two teams?
I would go more for like a real wrestling match. So I'm thinking I would include guys, you know, like on one side. I would love a team of like Brett, Owen, Kurt Angle, Daniel Bryan, maybe even throw CM Punk in there. I think you put those five guys together as a team. That's a hell of a team.
That's a heavy team right there.
that's a hell of a team right there. And maybe on the other side, you take some of the bigger stars, maybe not on the same level technically as, you know, in the ring, but every bit as big as those guys, probably even bigger. So maybe a team that has Steve Austin in his prime before the double knee braces and the neck problems. The Rock, put him on there. Let's see, who else do we have? You know what? The Undertaker. I would take The Undertaker from maybe 7 or 8 years ago. I feel like it's kind of weird to say that because he's been around forever, but I feel like The Undertaker is like a fine wine where, for so long, he seemed to get better with age. He actually became a better wrestler over time.
Yeah.
So I throw him in there. You know, he's a big name. So you got, let's see, Austin, Rock, Taker, Randy Savage has got to be on there without question. And just to throw one in there, you know what? I'll throw in CM Punk. Did I put Punk on the other team?
You put Punk on the other team already.
I did. Okay, you know what then? Let's throw in Mr. Perfect because he was my favorite growing up.
Oh, there you go. That's actually an interesting choice. So on
he could be the anchor of the team.
So on that team, you got Austin, Rock, Taker, Perfect, and who?
Savage
and Perfect. And then the other one, Brett, Owen, Angle, Brian, and Punk. That would be a hell of a Survivor Series main event match. But Solid Monster, appreciate you for taking the time to do this show once again. Your show comes out every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. You're on like so many platforms, I can't even name them all. TuneIn Radio, whatever, Last FM. You got all the kinds. You got apps, you got streams, you got everything. What's the YouTube channel?
You just type in Solid Monster Sounds Off on YouTube. Our videos will come right up. You can subscribe from there.
Okay, yeah, so make sure you subscribe to the channel, guys, because he does very exclusive podcasts on that channel. Unlike the WWE, he understands what the word exclusive means. You can only get them on YouTube. So make sure you subscribe to his channel so you can get the shows first as they're posted. I appreciate you for coming on, man. We're going to have to chat real soon, all right?
I appreciate it. It's always fun.
All right. Thanks, man. Take care. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and add us to your playlist on Stitcher Radio. Come tune in next week.